chapter 21, and begin reading in verse number 4, please. The Bible says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.' And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, then when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Let's go to God in just a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your love. Thank you for your kindness and your long suffering in our life. Thank you, Lord, for your tender mercies. And Lord, I pray as we approach your precious word this morning, Lord, that you would, Lord, make it fresh in our hearts, make it real to us today. I pray, Lord, for that one amongst us today that's lost, that does not know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray this be the good glad hour where they get born again and saved by the grace of God. May we see no man save Jesus only. Help us to lift you up today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here in this text, we find that the children of Israel, of course, they have been delivered from the hand of the Egyptians in Exodus chapter number 14. They walk out of Egypt land. God parts the Red Sea, makes a way when there was no way. And it's amazing, God's people, they've been in bondage for over 400 years there in Egypt, and they prayed for a man. You know what God did? God raised up a man by the name of Moses. Now, what I like about the story of Moses is Moses' mom and dad, Amram and Jochebed, it really was a convenient time to have children in that day. I mean, you think about it, Pharaoh is commanded to have all the male babies cast into the Nile River. I don't know if there were crocodiles in that river or not. I've heard preachers preach all my life about the alligators and the crocodiles eating the babies. In Exodus 2, I ain't never read any alligators or crocodiles. I'm not saying they weren't there, but I'm just saying they're not in the Bible, amen? So we'll just move on. But it was a dangerous time. I've often heard parents say, thankfully, nobody in this church, but I've heard young parents say, "I don't know if I want to bring children into this type of world. As bad as the world is and as wicked as the world is, I don't know if I want to bring children in this kind of world." Let me let you know something, honey. In Exodus chapter number 2, it was a wicked world, but thank God for Amram and Jochebed. They did not let society and they did not let the world dictate what kind of family they was going to have. You know what they decided to do? They said, "We're going to have this baby by the grace of God, and we're going to shelter baby Moses." The Bible said they hid him for 3 months, and when they couldn't hide him anymore, when it got to a point when they had to let that child go, they covered him in that ark of the bulrushes. That I ain't got time to preach on all that, but that ark was taken from the reeds, which was writing instruments they had used there in Egypt, and they would pitch it in and out with pitch. You see what they done? They put their baby in the word and surrounded it by the blood. Amen. Can I say this? Your children can make it. You raise them right. You raise them in church. You raise them around the things of God. I'm not saying they won't never go astray, but I tell you, I like my chances better raising them in church. And so thank God for Amram and Jochebed, how they had a burden to raise this young man by the name of Moses. And we know the whole story about how God raised up Moses through Pharaoh's house, and how one day God struck a bush up in his life. Moses lived to be 120 years old. One man said the first 40 years of his life, he thought he was somebody. The second 40 years of his life, he learned he was a nobody. And the last 40 years of his life, he learned that God can take a nobody and make a somebody out of him. Amen. And aren't you glad God can take nothing and do more with us than we ever could do with ourselves? Amen. And so they've come out of Egypt land, and they're wandering around in the wilderness because of the rebellion of God's people. They wouldn't believe the Lord, and they wouldn't believe God. And so they've spied out that land for I'm getting it in Numbers 21. Just hang with me. They spied out that land for 40 days, and they didn't believe God. The 10 come back with an evil report, and the 2 come back, Joshua and Caleb, with a positive positive report. And they said that the 10 said, we've seen the giants and it can't be done. They're greater than us. We can't do it. But you know what Joshua and Caleb said? We didn't see no giants. We saw some grapes, though. And we saw God in the we are well able. The Lord is well able to deliver this in our hands. But we understand the majority ruled that day. Hey, the majority ain't always right. In that text right there, the majority wasn't right. And they made the first mistake in Baptist church. They took a vote. And they voted not to believe God. And you know what God said? God said, all right, you spied out that land for 40 days. I'm going to make you spend 1 year in the wilderness for every day that you spied out that land and you wouldn't believe me. And so for 40 years, they're wandering in the wilderness. And somebody said, preacher, wasn't that cruel of God? Well, it was the judgment of God. But I'm glad in wrath he remembered mercy. Because every day of that 40 years, he sent manna down from heaven. And he had water from a rock. And he sent that quail down. Aren't you glad? Even when he corrects us, he's still taking care of us and meeting our needs. That's not an incentive to sin. That's not an incentive to rebel against God. But that just shows us how merciful he is. That just shows us how great he is tonight. Amen. And so this morning, rather, so we see, last time I preached this message, it was night. Amen. So I got night stuck in my head. But we come to this text in Numbers 21, and this is reference. This is in the time of them wandering around in the wilderness for some 40 years. Jesus will reference this text in John chapter 3 when he is speaking to Nicodemus. He'll make this statement, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so in this text this morning, I want us to look at this text, and I want to preach very simply on look and live. That was the message of Moses in this text, look and live. He said, if you look toward that brazen serpent, you could live and have life. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you know where I'm going, friend. If you're here today and you're lost without God and you're dead and you're trespassing sin, if you'll look to Jesus and put your faith and trust in him, you can begin to live. Now let me walk through these verses, and I want to say five things to you quickly, and I'm going to get me something to eat. First of all, in verse number 5, I want us to see the rebellion in verse number 5. Look, the Bible said, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. I note the people's rebellion in verse number 5. Notice their accusation in verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt? Notice, I found that interesting that when they spake against God, they were speaking against Moses. Which indicates to me if they'd speak against Moses, they're speaking against God because Moses is God's representative. I'm not telling you, I'm not better than anybody else this morning, but I do represent the Lord and I try to be a man of God. You better be careful about talking about the man of God. Not just me, but any man of God who preaches the word of God and stands for truth because you're speaking against God. And they accuse, they said, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt? You know what's funny though? They pray that somebody get them up out of Egypt. They asked, they had to be Baptists. I mean, they pray and ask God for something, God answers it, and they get mad about how God answered. Hello. Their accusation, that rebellion, where have you brought us up? Because you asked me to. You ever prayed something and got mad how God answered? God, why'd you do this? You asked me to. Their accusation. Then notice their assumption. He said, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Now, they're making several statements in this verse that don't make sense. Here's another one that don't make sense. If God wanted to kill them, just leave them in Egypt. Pharaoh was doing a good job at that, wasn't he? I mean, if God wanted to kill him, why part the Red Sea? I mean, that would have solved their problem right there. That would have fixed the issue. And I'm telling you, though, when our attitude gets wrong and we get rebellion and sin in our heart, we'll begin to think things that are not true. We'll begin to assume things that are not true. We'll think that God is against us. When God ain't against us, here's what Paul said. If God be for us, who can be against us? David said, for this I know that God is for me. But when you allow sin and rebellion in your heart, you'll begin to think things that ain't even remotely true. Their accusation, their assumption, but then notice their attitude. Now look at verse 5, and this is hilarious to me. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Now hang on. They just said there's no bread. But then they said our soul loatheth. That word loathe means to abhor, to hate, to disguise, to be disgusted at. They said there ain't no bread. Except that bread. But I don't like that bread. I illustrate it like this, and thank God she's walking out. I illustrate it like this. When a woman walks in her closet and says she has nothing to wear, you know what that means? It means she ain't got nothing new to wear. If a guy does that, it means he ain't got nothing clean to wear. Now, I'm just as, amen, come on now, help me. I ain't the only, say amen, she amen. It's just that way. But you know what? We're that way too. I'm hungry. We go to the refrigerator, it's full of food, cabinets full of food, but there ain't anything there you want. Well, you really ain't hungry then. I mean, if we're really hungry, we'd eat anything in there. I mean, we'd even eat liver mush. God, hey, I don't know if I'd eat liver mush if I was hungry. I don't know. I don't know if I can handle it. I know you would, amen. Somebody said, what's wrong with liver mush? Two words, liver and mush. All right. Amen. Maybe if they named it something else, but I can't get past the name, amen. But I'm telling you, if I was really hungry, though, I mean, they said, we're hungry, ain't no bread. But he's been sending down manna every day. You see, when you get sin and rebellion in your heart, you'll begin to neglect the blessings that are all around you that God has been showering down. Every single morning, Brother Eric, every single morning, God sent manna down from heaven. All they had to do was go out and pick it up. You can't get no better than that, God, raining down Krispy Kreme donuts at your tent door. Can't get no better than that. So I said, you don't know it was a Krispy Kreme donut. You don't know it wasn't. You know what manna means? What is it? I answered it. It's a Krispy Kreme donut. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, though it was light, it's light bread, and a donut ain't very heavy. I think I've got several things rolling this direction, amen. But you know what? The rebellion led them to have the wrong kind of attitude towards God. I said this before, I'll say it again. We complain about how bad we've got it on the cell phones that God's paying for. We complain about how our nation is a communist nation while we're sitting in a restaurant. Talk to me now. Amen. I mean, I ain't saying she's everything she needs to be. She ain't. But what I'm saying is we got more freedom than a lot of people in the world do. And I'm telling you this morning, we need to survey our blessings and survey how good God has been to us, how great God's been to us. Look, I don't like the gas prices no more than anybody else does, but thank God we're not standing in line hoping there's gas. Thank God we're not on a gas ration, amen. At least we got gas to get down the road and get where we need to go, amen. Instead of complaining about it, we ought to be grateful. I said, Lord, I don't like it. I'm not happy about it, but Lord, you've been meeting the needs, been answering the prayers, been putting food on the table. But you know what these folks were? They didn't get what they wanted, and they got mad and upset at God. Their rebellion. Number two, notice their recompense. Verse number six, the Bible said, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Notice this recompense, this judgment, it was divine. The Bible said the Lord sent the fiery serpents. It didn't say the devil sent them. It didn't say that Egypt sent them. It said the Lord sent these. It's important to note that God himself sent it. See, God loves you enough to correct you. God loves you enough to send some judgment in your life. This recompense was divine. This recompense was direct. The Bible said, and they bit the people. Watch this now. God knows how to get your attention. I'd say a serpent biting you gets your attention. Y'all know my stance on snakes, amen. I'm scared of them. Somebody said, they won't hurt you. Them black snakes won't hurt you. No, they'll make you hurt yourself. I killed a snake one time. Had a fella get mad at me. I can't believe you killed that black snake. I said, I didn't ask to see his driver's license to see what his nationality was. I just knew he was a snake. So I said, well, if you look right up under the tongue, you can tell. I was like, you think I'm going to look up under a snake's tongue to see if he's wearing chapstick or not? You can forget it, man. I'm just telling you. Well, if he's got a diamond-shaped head, when I see a snake, I don't even know what a diamond is. Well, red touch black, venom light, red touch yellow, kill a fella. And when I see a snake, I go colorblind. I just kill it. I tell you, God knows how to get your attention. God knows how to send judgment and recompense and wrath your direction to get your attention. It was divine. It was direct. It was deadly. The Bible said that much people of Israel died. You know what that was in that verse when they died? It was the wages of sin. Because what are the wages of sin? It's death. They rebelled against God. Is this making any sense this morning? They rebelled against God. They spake against God and Moses, and God sent judgment, and God sent condemnation, and God sent wrath. And the people began to die. The rebellion, the recompense. But then number three, look at verse number seven. Notice the repentance. Oh, I love this in verse seven. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, Watch this. I wish some people get to this point right here, these three words. We have sinned. A lot of people never get any help because they won't say them three words right there. They will not admit that they have sinned against God. He said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. Watch this. And against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Notice, I already touched on this, but just for sake of the outlines, those that write it down, their admission in verse number 7. Therefore, the people came unto Moses and said, we have sinned against the Lord. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. And they, you know what that took? That took honesty, and that took humility. And you won't get any help from God until you get honest and you get humble. What does James say? God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. They got honest. We have sinned. We have sinned. Notice their admonition, their admission. But then notice what they asked for in verse number 7. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. You know what they did? They were tired of them serpents ruining their life. They were tired of death. They were tired of destruction. You know what they said? They said, pray unto the Lord. We're tired of being like this. Hey, I'm telling you, if you're here this morning lost without God and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, there's a God that you can call out to. There is a Savior. There is a remedy. There is hope. There is a balm in Gilead, and his name is Jesus Christ. And all they had to do was admit and ask. But then notice their advocate. The Bible said, and Moses prayed for the people. Different dispensation, different economy, but they couldn't get to God on their own. They're wicked. They rebelled against God, but there was one in that crowd that hadn't rebelled against God. And, amen. And there was one that could go to God on their behalf, and his name was Moses. And you know what Moses did? Moses didn't say, no, you get what you deserve. Moses fell on his face and said, oh, God. He said, I'm coming before you on behalf of those people. They don't deserve your mercy. They don't deserve your grace. They don't deserve your love. But Moses does this over and over again. He said in Exodus 32, he said, if you won't forgive their sin, then blot my name out of your book. And God said, who I blot out of my book is my business. You know what he said, though? He said, I am willing to die so they can have forgiveness. Well, aren't you glad that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous? And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Thank God there is one God and one man between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I'm glad he's our mediator. I'm glad he's our go-between. I'm glad I've got somebody that goes to God on my behalf. I got a good lawyer this morning. He don't try to get me off on a technicality. You know what he says? That boy's guilty. He's guilty of everything. He ought to get what he deserves. But my blood paid for that sin. My sacrifice paid for that sin. That sin's been washed away by the blood of Calvary. Thank God for our advocate this morning. Amen. Notice not only the rebellion and the recompense and the repentance, but then notice the remedy. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Now don't miss this in the Bible. Notice the design in verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. Now you're going to have to forgive me for my ignorance. And I don't know why I thought this, and you can say, preacher, what in the world was you thinking? For some reason, my mind, because I hadn't read my Bible like I should, evidently, I thought Moses might have just picked up one of them serpents and it became brazen. That God brazened that serpent. God turned that one serpent back into a rod at one point. That's what I always thought. But that ain't what happened in this text. Forgive me for my ignorance, but watch what the Bible said. Make thee a fiery serpent. He said, get you a piece of brass and mold it and make it to look like a serpent. So I said, preacher, what's the big deal about that? Had Moses picked up one of those serpents off the ground, he'd have been crazy, number one. But number two, it wouldn't have helped those people if he put it on a pole. You know why? Because them snakes had venom in them, had poison in them. They were deadly. Ah, but there was, that brazen serpent looked like a serpent, had the appearance of a serpent, had the form of a serpent, but didn't have that venom on the inside and didn't have that poison on the inside. In fact, it looked just like all the other serpents. But there was something different about it. Hey, man, let this mind be in you. He was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbed equal of God, but made himself of no reputation. And he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Like in a sinful flesh, like the likeness of man. For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. So I said, preacher, what's the big deal? He looked like man. The glory of God put on flesh. The glory dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. But I tell you something, there wasn't no poison in him. And there wasn't no venom in him. And there wasn't no sin in him. Yeah, he looked like everybody else, but he wasn't like everybody else. He was different. You know what? If he had sin in him, if Jesus could have sinned, he could not be our Redeemer. If Jesus had sinned, he could not be our Savior. But I'm glad Peter said he did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. You know what? He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Made in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he was a sinful flesh. There's the design. Then there's the display. He said, when you make that fiery serpent, set it upon a pole. You know what that pole was? I'm going to need some help right here. It was a wooden structure. He said, you take that serpent that ain't got no venom in him. Venom in him. You say that 10 times fast, amen. And you take that serpent and you lift it up on that pole. And there's the declaration. He said, it shall come to pass. Boy, I like that little phrase. That everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Now, I love that whole verse. But my favorite line of that verse, Brother Richie, is everyone that is bitten. It didn't say only a few could look. It didn't say only a select chosen frozen could look. But he said, if you've been bitten. Oh, do you remember when you was bitten by sin? That venom of sin was in you. But aren't you glad Christ received a sinful man? And the message was, if you've been bitten, I'm glad there's a Savior. You can look and live. You can look. That was a promise. And aren't you glad he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? I love it. He said, if they've been bitten, all they got to do is look. There ain't much to do to look. He didn't say you got to get up off the ground. They're laying there dying. They're helpless. They're hopeless. But if they could just look, there's the remedy. But then notice the responsibility in this text. Verse number 9. Just verse by verse this morning. Look at verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten, look, he even clarifies again, any man. When he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. There's a twofold responsibility. And this is what I gave in Sunday school last Sunday morning. Twofold responsibility. First of all, Moses' responsibility. What was his responsibility? Lift up the serpent. He was to lift it up. Lift it up. You know what my desire is to lift him up. Lift him up. But the multitude had a responsibility to look. Moses could not make them look. He just had to lift up that serpent. You know where we get discouraged at sometimes? We have lost family, lost friends, lost co-workers. We try to bring them to church. I mean, it never fails. And I'm glad to bring them to church, But you ever brought somebody to church and you prayed and you prayed and you know this is the service they're going to get saved. And they walk in, choir's dead, the singing's off, the preacher preaches on tithing. I mean, they don't get saved. And you get discouraged. I've done that before. I've been there before. But you know what? You've done your job. You know what you did? You lifted Jesus up to them. It's their responsibility on whether they're going to look or not. Jesus made this statement in John 12, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Did you know that by them looking, it involved faith and repentance? Repentance was by looking, they quit looking at their scar. No doubt, if a snake had bit me, brother, I'm looking where he bit me. Trying to get some help for it. But they turned from that. And by looking, they had faith. They believed that Moses said, if you'll look at this serpent, can you see Moses as he's standing there that day? Can you see as he's standing there before the people? And he says, hey, if you'll look, you can live. You know what they had to do? They had to say, you know what? Me trying to fix this bite is not doing it. I'm trying to wrap this wound up, but it's not working. But that preacher said, if I looked at that serpent, I could live. I'm telling you this morning, you may have tried everything. You might have joined the church, been baptized, done all religious things, and it ain't worked. You tried to tend to your own wounds, but it ain't worked. But oh, listen to this preacher this morning. If you'll look to Calvary, if you'll look to Jesus, if you'll turn to Him, you can live, thank God. You can live. But you got to quit trying to do it on your own. Well, I'm going to try to be a better person. I don't think there's a bad person in this building except for Brother Eric. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say which Brother Eric. But we all know who I'm talking about. No, I'm saying, no, there ain't, I don't believe there's a bad person. I don't believe we have any murderers in here. Hey, I believe we got good people in here. But good people don't go to heaven. Only saved people go to heaven. Heaven ain't for good people. Heaven's for saved people. And hell ain't for bad people. Hell's for lost people. Well, preacher, I'm going to quit this, then I'm going to get saved. No, you're getting the cart before the horse. You get saved, the quitter will move on the inside of you. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, and let me say this in closing this morning. To those of us that are saved, you know what your job is every day? Lift Him up. When you go to your job, lift up Jesus. How do I do that? I ain't saying you get you a placard board on either side and walk around like a fool and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying you be honest with people. You pray over your meal and don't be a show like the Pharisees. Don't have that long prayer just to impress people. But just be a real Christian in front of them. Tell them Jesus loves them and that you're praying for them. And then go pray for them. And tell them that, and brag on Jesus. Be a testimony. When you're reviled, revile not again. Lift Jesus up. Lift Jesus up. And if you're here this morning, you're not saved. You need to look. Because what we try to do here at this church is lift up Jesus. He said, a lot of churches get in trouble. I said it in Sunday school. It's what got me going this direction. They want to draw the people in. I can't draw anybody. Jesus said, but if you'll lift me up, I'll draw all men unto me. Our desire as believers and our job as believers, Brother Eric, Brother Caden, Brother Michael, Brother Richie, as preachers of the gospel, we're to lift up Jesus. But Brother Eric, you're not a preacher, but your job is to lift up Jesus.